thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
So I was chatting with Mark this week about what to do at this stage in our journey through Acts, before we dive into our Joshua series for the ACC. We thought it would be helpful to take some time to reflect on this series and see where we've been and examine the sermons that we've looked at in our series so far in the book of Acts. And the sorts of things that it's made us think about, be challenged by, and maybe even to act upon. And I don't think we often take this opportunity, these kinds of opportunities, when we are working our way through a book in the Bible. Often we just feel like, oh, we've got to get through it. There's so much in here that we've got to get through. But I think there's great value in taking time to pause and to think about what it is that we have been looking at. In fact, recent research at Harvard suggests that reflection is one of the most powerful techniques in learning, one of the most powerful mechanisms behind learning. That reflecting on experience helps us make the connections between the things that we know in our heads and the things that we've outworked in our lives so that we remember them, so that they become a part of our cognitive process, and so that we don't just apply them for the next 5 minutes, but they become part of our habits, things that we carry on into the future. So after I've shared a few of my own reflections on this series, I'm going to invite you to take some time to share a few of your own thoughts on the sorts of things that have come up for you, that have challenged you over the course of this series in Acts. We'll first split into twos to discuss this, and then we'll join together in slightly larger groups before Kath brings around the microphone, and there is an opportunity for you to share with the rest of this church community here this morning about some of the things that have impacted you from this series. Now, don't worry if you think that you will have nothing to share. These don't have to be polished pearls of wisdom. But maybe you'd like to join with me now as we take a moment to invite the Holy Spirit to remind us of the sorts of things that we've looked at. And maybe if for you this is your first time with us here at Guymyr Baptist, just to reflect on the sort of things that I raise over the course of this message. Would you join with me in prayer now? Father God, I pray that as we reflect on this series, Father, as we look at what it is that you have invited us to recognize and remember, Lord, that you would help us to recall you at work in our lives. Father, I pray that we might translate what we see here into living action in our lives, Lord, that this might be an opportunity to share together those areas where you have transformed our living. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 13 weeks ago, as I said, we started our series in Acts, continuing on from the Gospel of Luke. And this story is about the early church and about their emerging beginnings. And as Mark pointed out, there are tensions within this story that keep us turning the pages. We may be very familiar with the book of Acts, but I have found that looking at it again, even though I know kind of where this is going, that I'm excited again. I've got that renewed excitement to find out where this journey is going to take this group of believers. We've seen the apostles receive their final instructions from Jesus before he ascended into heaven. And then we've seen the apostles grow in understanding of and faithfulness to this mission that God has invited them to be involved with. We've seen the believers speak in different tongues as this community grows at this extraordinary rate. And then we've seen the apostles address these crowds with ever-increasing authority as they speak. We've seen men and women devoted to learning all they can about what God has called them to, a devotion to God's word and to each other. And we've seen undeniably miraculous healings and the different responses of those who observed one of those healings in particular. Responses of awe and amazement about what was going on. And then on the other side, fierce opposition. We've seen a community devoted to prayer, to shared finances, as well as the disastrous consequences of deception in that area. And there's more miraculous healing, signs and wonders, an angelic jailbreak, faithful preaching, a matter-of-fact response to racism, the faithful election of more team members, but none of this is the point. Yes, these things happened, and yes, these events are significant in the formation of our faith and where we have journeyed today. But I think there is something deeper going on in this book. You see, on the face of it, this book is about the formation of the early church. But I think there's something deeper and more significant for us to focus upon, for us to reflect upon. Let's look again at a few of the sections we've explored in this series. Are you interested to find out more? You might find it helpful to have your Bible open at the beginning of Acts, but the verses will appear on the screen as well. So my first reflection comes from Acts 2, verses 14 to 41. And here we find Peter addressing the crowds that are gathering at Pentecost. When Mark preached on this section back in July, he highlighted how Peter was speaking the apocalyptic language of the prophet Joel in the temple. And in doing so, he revealed how Jesus had replaced the temple as the place of God's presence here on earth. Let's take a look at verse 20 and 21 that'll appear on the screen. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the end of the world for the temple. Jesus had become the way that God would restore humans' relationship with himself. Jesus was the outworking of God's plan. But let's carry on and take a look at verse 33. Again, this will appear on the screen. Exalted to the right hand of God, he, Jesus, has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Jesus poured out his Spirit upon the believers, and they, in turn, continued the outworking of God's plan. God sent Jesus to carry out his plans and purposes on earth. And then, by the power of the Spirit, the believers continued to outwork the plans and purposes of God. And we, those who have received the Holy Spirit, are invited to do the same, to carry out the plans and purposes of God in this world. When you work for someone else, you are given a purpose by them. When you work for a company, you represent something greater than yourself. You produce or sell for something that is bigger than you. And God is inviting us to work for him, to represent him at God Incorporated, to carry out his purposes in the world, to tell others about how great our boss is. And this is the best job that you will ever get. And my prayer is that as we've journeyed through this series in Acts, you are beginning to get some of that reality. But unlike working for the best company, though, the working environment may not be the most comfortable. This job may not be the least challenging. It may not be the easiest job you've ever done. But the long-term health benefits are undeniably unparalleled. faced with reflecting on this section of Acts, I have to ask myself if I'm willing to accept this invitation to be a representative of God in this world. Am I willing to put down my busy life and actually ask God what He wants me to do? To pray and to seek God's plans, to be expectant and to ask God to guide me through the Bible, through Christian friends, through that Holy Spirit-inspired sense that this is right. And I think that we're all called to that. God is at the heart of this passage. It is God who is in focus. And we are invited into God's plans. My second reflection is in Acts 4, verses 1 to 21. And Peter and John are addressing the religious leaders in the Sanhedrin as they stand on trial for healing this lame man. Mark led us through this passage back in August. And in the face of almost every attempt to throw a rug over this emerging situation that was happening in the name of Jesus, Peter and John are standing firm. The religious leaders are desperate to squash the rumors that Jesus is the Son of God and that He has passed on the authority to heal in His name. But Peter and John aren't having a bar of it. Let's look at chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. It has taken a while, some tough times, persecution in fact, but the apostles had reached the point of recognizing that their lives were all for Jesus. That there was no greater authority for them than Him. And if continuing Jesus' mission set in Acts 1 to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and all of Samaria meant opposing those in authority and facing persecution, then so be it. They were all in. I desperately searched for a story that would illustrate followers who were willing to give up everything for a leader. And in fact, I Googled a whole afternoon away trying to find one. But time and time and time again, I found stories, reports, and accounts of countless people who were willing to give up their lives to follow Jesus of Nazareth. No figure in history has had more influence on more people in such a way that they would give up everything, some even to the point of death, to follow the plans that this man encouraged his followers in. It's incredible the influence that Jesus has had. The Christian faith is still the largest faith group in the world. 2.2 billion people are Christians. Well, at least they were in 2010. But despite what you think about statistics and what you are now thinking about, well, I wonder if they are genuine believers, this is still an incredibly encouraging statistic. Jesus is the inspiration behind a life worth living. And Jesus is inviting us to follow Him. Our mission statement hinges on an invitation to others to follow Jesus. But we have got to be willing to go there ourselves. To take time to reflect on the Bible and see what Jesus called His followers into. To see what Jesus is calling us into. And then to actually go there. To speak out about Him with boldness. to pray for people expectant that they will be healed in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is at the heart of this passage. He is in focus, and we are invited to follow Jesus. My final reflection comes from Gil Davis' sermon on Acts 2, the passage you might remember that I was grumpy I didn't get to preach on. Well, I'm preaching on it now. In Acts 2, verses 1 to 13, Jesus has made a promise to his followers before he ascended into heaven. And then we get to this passage, and whilst the believers were gathered together in the temple, the Holy Spirit came on them in power. Acts 2, verses 2 and 4, they're on the screen behind me. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit enabled them to speak. God, through Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, gave the believers all the tools that they needed at this moment in time to spread this beautiful truth about Jesus Christ, this transforming reality. God smashed down language barriers in the power of the Spirit. In chapter 4, 31, the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak boldly. In chapter 5, the Holy Spirit enabled the apostles to heal the sick, to restore lives, and to right what is wrong in this world. A little bit earlier on, I described how carrying out the plans and purposes of God in this world is a little bit like working for God at God Incorporated, Him as the boss. Representing God on earth amongst his creation. But in this company, we don't just have the greatest boss. We have every possible resource we need to carry out the work that he is calling us into. In the Holy Spirit, we have been given the means to live, the tools for the job, strength for the day, a company credit card. Maybe not a company credit card. But the Holy Spirit is all the resource we need, and he is freely given to all who would choose to believe. We can't truly live without the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we think we can, then we're foolish. And we certainly can't carry out the plans and purposes of God in this world without flinging ourselves wholly dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit outworked in our lives. This is God's resource for us. The power of the Holy Spirit enables us to do all that God requires of us. All that God invites us into. And yes, we receive the Holy Spirit when we respond to Jesus and we choose to repent and believe. But we must go on opening ourselves to be filled by the Holy Spirit anew, to be filled afresh. And this is not because the Holy Spirit has disappeared from us, but because we become increasingly unaware of his presence. And if we're not seeing this sort of reality in our lives, then perhaps it's because we're thirsty. And we need to drink deep again of this provision from God, that he might quench our thirst, that we might pray and ask for the provision of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to live lives like these. To live lives like we see in the apostles and the believers in this account in Acts. The Holy Spirit is at the heart of this passage. The Holy Spirit is in focus. And we are invited to receive the Holy Spirit. as I conclude, I mentioned at the beginning a list of events that are important in the book of Acts, but events that I don't believe are the point of this book. I mentioned that I believe there to be a deeper reality, a deeper truth going on here, something deeper for us to focus on, to reflect on. And as I've reflected on this in preparation for this message, but also here this morning, I think what we see is not an account of the early church, but God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, carrying out his plans, bringing about the restoration of all things. And yes, he uses people to do that, but they are not the focus. God is. Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is. You see, when we focus on God, when we reflect on him, when we choose to follow Jesus, when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we begin to do what the early believers did in focusing on God, when we do this, we start to live like they did. We start to live as God intended. So we've come to that time where it's an opportunity for you to share some of your reflections upon this series, some of the things that have impacted you, some of the ways that you've seen God at work in your life, some of the things that you have thought about in a new way. And as I said before, these don't have to be polished pearls. They just have to be honest reflections of what you've seen God doing in your life. So here's the mechanics for how that's going to work. Well, firstly, I invite you to share just with the person who's sitting next to you in your row. And we'll take literally a couple of minutes to do that. And then after that, I'll invite the two of you to join with another two. So there's four, or maybe six of you. And you can share those ideas a bit further, some of the things that you've come up with. And then we'll throw it open. And Kath will bring around a mic, and you can just raise your hand in the air if you would like to share something with the rest of the church. And when we share, we encourage one another. We let people in on what God is doing in our lives. And we can't possibly have an in-depth conversation with every single person in this room, but this is one way. We get to see the power of God at work through, in, and through this community. And that is a huge privilege.